You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. We are probably going to go off the rails pretty quickly this week because as I was trying to figure out what I wanted a podcast about this week, a bunch of topics came out. And then two of my favorite people, Summer Hull and Richard Kerr from TPG, both said, yeah, I've got time to podcast. And that just meant that we were going to put all three of us on the line together for you guys today. So we're going to jump around a bit on topics and we're going to try and stay on track, but only if I can keep Summer and Mr. Kerr pointing in the right direction. Hey guys, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk miles and points.
Some Southerners on track. You're hilarious.
He said, keep us pointed in the right way. I like point.
What's the point? All right. So as we enter the fourth quarter of the year, it's time to talk about what we're doing for status. And while status is less important than it used to be, it's still something that we do chase from time to time. So since ladies always get to go first here, Summer, what's status looking like for you in 2019?
You know, it's looking good. All of a sudden, I'm finished with Marriott, and I don't know exactly how that happened, but I'm also not going to ask a lot of questions.
When you say finished, do you mean that, just to clarify, when you say finished and Marriott in the same sentence, some people might think that you may have thrown them to the curb. So I think we'll say you've completed your status?
Yeah, I thought I had a few more left to go. Now, all of a sudden, I'm over 50 on the year, and I'm not going to ask too many questions on that math. So I was close anyway, though, last I counted. I was in the 40s. So, you know, to get to platinum status, you need 50 stays on the year. Your Marriott credit card can give you 15 of those. But you need 35 more that come from either paid or award stays. So, I mean, I think I'm going to actually hit 50 nights the real way anyway by the end of the year. But, you know, check your account. Sometimes their math is interesting. So, so I'm done officially requalifying for Marriott Platinum status for next year. I'm already outlining 2020, though, and I may be switching back to Hyatt. So TBD, but definitely already have Marriott wrapped up.
Well, we would be happy to have you back in a Hyatt world, as it were.
Yes.
Where are you at? Where are you at on airline status? I know that's been sort of a secondary thing for you the last few years, just based on your travel patterns. But are you going to have any United status?
Yeah. Once upon a time, I had United top tier 1K status, and then I had platinum status, which is their second tier. Some other years, but yeah, once I had two kids, that hasn't happened since then. It's not feasible for me to be gone that much.
You have Frontier status though, right? Isn't that what you want?
You know, I should. Yeah. I'm about to take my third Frontier trip, but
yes.
But yeah, so with United, the last couple of years, I have hit gold, which is their mid status. And I'm on track for that again. I think I'm about 75% of the way there. I'll probably have to buy some miles like I've done the last few years. Usually I have to buy around 5,000 miles or so, which is worth it to me rather than take another trip or miss out on gold perks like securing extra legroom seats at booking and free same day changes. So tracking to see how many miles I need to buy.
And with the changes in the United program, I think I can safely say that the difference between gold and 1K is having them say sir when they kick you in the butt.
Hopefully they say ma'am to Summer.
They can call me whatever they want as long as they kick me to first class. That's fine.
Mr. Kerr, what's status looking like for you in 2019?
I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm also going to hit 50 nights with Marriott this year.
Wow, there's a lot of Marriott on this podcast. I feel like you guys should have warned me about that before we got on.
So I've got the card 15. I held an event and got 10. And then a lot of the places that I've been required to travel this year, I've been put at Marriott for one reason or another. So I'm like 47 nights right now. And when we go to Charlotte to the Red Ventures headquarters, we have to stay at Marriott there. So I'm definitely going to be another 3 nights sometime this year there. But I'm also 2 nights away from requalifying Hyatt Globalist as well.
Are you ever home, Richard? I'm worried for you now.
Well, be worried for my family, not for me.
Exactly. I'm really worried for your family.
But no, so what I did with Hyatt, I mean, we've stayed at a lot of Hyatt this year, without a doubt. But also when I had huge medical expenses earlier this year before I was a TPG employee and didn't have health insurance, we put all that on the Hyatt card to get 2 elite nights for every 5K. So that got us quite a few elite nights into my account that way, because I just love globalist status. And I think I have 3 nights at the Grand Hyatt in New York next week, and that'll put me over the top back to globalist again for the year.
I see the headline post now, the silver lining of ambulance rides by Richard Kirk.
Or it could be the platinum line or the globalist lining of ambulance. I don't know. Something like that. Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that's how I may get back in Hyatt's good graces next year, is finally getting the newer Hyatt card. I still have the old one that doesn't help you in the same way.
You know, I see these Bubbas that got the original Hyatt card when it had the mistake of lifetime diamond, and they're still lifetime globalist. I like, it makes me sick to my stomach. Like,
these Bubbas.
I just cannot. They rub it in my face on Facebook all the time, too. When I talk about it, they just post a screenshot of it, and I know they got it from the credit card, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's just
jealous.
Yeah, that's what I have going on. And the last thing is, I have a little research project going on. If you follow me for a while, you know I love obscure things and award charts and programs, and there's a program called Global Hotel Alliance GHA Discovery, of which Omni Select is a part of. It's a really weird relationship, actually, because they're two independent programs, but they live within each other. So independent programs that live within each other. Yep, said that correctly. And I did research at an Omni stay last week, and this program is actually awesome. So GHA Discovery Black Status, they have like 30 different hotel groups around the world that are a part of this. The Black Status is really cool. I mean, if you get targeted for double elite nights through Omni, which happens to all of us almost once a year, 15 nights gets you top tier Black Status, which is, I mean, a lot of fun. And that culminates in what they call local experiences. So almost every time you stay at one of these hotels, you get this free amazing experience that can be a $300 dining credit, even if you're staying one night. Behind the scene tours of like the Brave Stadium here in Atlanta, the new Cowboy Stadium in Dallas, horseback riding on a beach that's included with the status. And you can do it 15 nights on top of all these other upgrades and free nights. And anyways, it's awesome. And I am working my way towards that right now.
You're so elite.
Yeah. Well, in my own mind, but that doesn't really count. So
you're elite with us too. I swear. I don't tell anyone that, but we'll tell you this now. And Omni's an interesting chain because, you know, it's funny that the only time I really think of them on a yearly basis is during daily getaways, because they have those certificates, even though there are a number of properties around the country. And they actually have one of my favorite hotels in the U.S. as part of their network, the Mount Washington Hotel.
In Vermont, right? Yeah.
No, New Hampshire, but close enough. Yeah. We'll call it all Canada. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful property at the foot of Mount Washington that when I stayed there a number of years ago, it wasn't even an Omni at that point, but beautiful hotel. And now you got me curious about Omni status.
Yeah, it's so like a pretty awesome welcome amenity. I mean, like not just like a little thing, but like they put together like a package for you with, I mean, wine and local delicacies. And like if you stay at the one next to the Braves Stadium, you get like Braves gear and things like this. But like, so I'm looking at Mount Washington now. If you are a Black member, you can get a private carriage ride at the Omni Mount Washington Resort, whoop-de-doo, whatever. A zip line, 2-for-1 plus dinner. Free afternoon tea, scenic railroad, a day at the spa. Like all this stuff is a local experience. And every hotel curates these for their Platinum and Black members. And it's just a really cool thing that absolutely makes me want to go stay at an Omni. So check it out. GHA Discovery.
It sounds like the kind of stuff you can do when you're a smaller chain that just gets thrown by the wayside when you're like Marriott size. But that sounds really, really neat.
I have no idea how they afford it. I mean, literally, one of the ones in Dallas is a $300 dining credit. So if you stay one night, you have $300 to spend.
Like, that's insane.
The other ones there are like a limo picks you up. You get a $250 Neiman Marcus shopping spree plus dinner. And then the limo takes you back because you're a Black member. It's like, what? Like, this is absurd.
Yeah, I think this is filed under the category of most of the folks in the miles and points community haven't found out about this status yet. So let's not talk about it too loudly.
Okay.
Or the carriage ride will go away.
It will.
Well, It's a good thing nobody listens to this podcast then. So,
and I'm reminded once again why I love having Richard Kerr as a guest on my podcast. Well, for the record, fortunately or unfortunately, I have a lot of flights on United this year, already requalified for 1K 4 months ago. Because of the Hyatt partnership with American, I'm actually going through a status match with American back to executive platinum, though I'm still not sure how much I'm going to use it next year based on some changes on the business side of things. As is a shock to no one listening to this podcast episode, nor either of my guests, I have requalified for Hyatt Globalist status this year. And I already had lifetime global status, but quite frankly, they fit most of my needs. And I hadn't actually looked up the number, but when I heard both of you guys say that you had a bunch of nights with Marriott this year, I went to look and see what I had. And as of right now, I have 32 nights. 15 of those were credit card, like you guys. But so far this year, there's only two paid stays I can think of that I put with Marriott because I had conferences at Red 2 properties where that was what made the most sense. But quite frankly, even without doing it, intentionally, I've dropped my Marriott stays by, probably 60 or 70 nights over last year.
That's probably a good thing, personally, in my own opinion. I mean, I don't know, maybe like somewhere like that, a loft that we stay at is, it's fine, but it's just a room and it's a rather small room. And it's like,
it's fine. The reason that I have a lot of Marriott still is because of burning points. Because they have a lot of places I really want to actually vacation. And that's the hard part. I mean, I'm a sucker for a nice hotel on the mountain or a nice St. Regis on the beach. And so I have had like way more than my fair share of Marriott drama. And yet I still love redeeming points at some of their properties. So I'm left in this weird spot where I still... they're my frenemy, put it that way. We're frenemies.
Like, I want to do that too, but a St. Regis on the beach on an awards day, you're going to still pay $70 a night in resort fee.
Oh, holy, which is awful.
I don't want to do that, which is why I have all of these Marriott points. And in my mind, they are literally just airline miles. I'm like, how many Marriott to transfer to Alaska to book something awesome? Okay.
That's so funny. And I would never transfer my Marriott to an airline because I love staying at their property so much. And it sucks paying $70 a night for a resort fee or 50 or whatever it is. But like, if that's all I'm paying for the night other than the points, then I still do it.
Maybe I'll change next year. I haven't been platinum with Marriott in a long time. So since I will be next year, maybe the breakfast and the lounge and a hope, maybe an inkling of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Especially if you're out with your family, like, what do you do? Like, you book a base room at a St. Regis and you got two little ones like I do, and your night's over at 7 p.m. when it's their bedtime. Like, I don't know how you, like, compared to a Hyatt where I'm going to go get a suite, put the kids to bed, and my night still keeps rolling. I mean, like, that's literally the draw for me.
We should do a whole thing on that sometime. But I mean, honestly, we're past that point now. My kids are just old enough to pack it. And actually, suites are now a problem for us because there's usually only one real bed and there's four of us, and that doesn't work anymore. So we actually do better now in normal rooms in some ways than we do in suites, sadly.
Mm. Yeah. And I will say, for whatever it's worth, there's small things, but a couple of things that Hyatt did when they changed their program have actually become meaningful for me, not because of the dollar value, but just because of the sort of the resonance of the awards day. It's not just that the resort fees are waived, but annoying things like high parking charges and stuff like that. There's something refreshing. My wife and I had an anniversary stay at a local Hyatt Regency in the DC area, Hyatt Regency Tyson's Corner, which is one of my favorite Hyatt Regencies in the entire country. And it's in an area where they charge, $30 or $40 a night for parking, and just walking in and having an awards day, being upgraded to the best suite in the house, and then not paying for anything, breakfast, resort fees, parking, any of that stuff. It's just, it just fits us. And I don't have to worry about that stuff, where Summer, I don't disagree with you at all on the quality of some of the Marriott hotels. And most of them, for me, at least, were old SPG properties, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, there's just a lot of battles. My business partner had an issue recently where he was staying at a JW Marriott, and when he went to go check in, they were oversold, and they walked him to a Residence Inn down the road. And so he went from a suite at the JW to a residence inn that, you know, wasn't anywhere near on par with what he'd booked. And they didn't even want to honor the published walk benefits. And he's still arguing with the property a week later about getting what's published on the website promised to him to remedy the stay. So it's just, you know, it's frustrating that there's that much friction for folks who are giving Marriott that much business, like you and Richard and I.
Oh, completely. And if I'm the one in the trio who's like the de facto Marriott cheerleader, we've got a strange trio going on, because I'm really not their cheerleader, but I do find myself loving some of their properties. So it's a weird spot.
The best thing I did a couple weeks ago, buddy invited me to go to the Falcons game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Hyatt Regency Atlanta dropped categories somehow. It's a category 2. It's 8,000 points tonight. And like you just said, free parking. So parking at a Falcons game alone is like 30 or 40 bucks if you don't want a MARTA in or whatever. So I dropped 8,000 points at the Hyatt Regency, free parking, which was, you know, free valet parking there. It's like 50 bucks. The lounge was open. The Hyatt Regency Atlanta still has free booze in the lounge. So four of us guys essentially tailgated watching the late Sunday afternoon game for free booze for like 2 hours. And then we walked over to the stadium and it was like 8,000 points for free parking and free booze before a Falcons game. Thank you, Hyatt, very much. I will do that every single time now. I mean, it's like,
I love it. And in case somebody doesn't know, parking's free when you're globalist only.
On awards days, yeah.
Yeah. So that is something I really miss, not being a Hyatt special person anymore. But
but it's huge. When you go to cities and you got a rental car and you're like, oh my God, 40 bucks a night for parking. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. No, yeah. It really is. It really is. It does add up. And the prices for parking continue to go up. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, again, it's not the biggest benefit, but it's just nice not to be nickeled and dimed when you're on awards days, you know, given all the business that that some of us give these hotels. So before we run out of time, I wanted to touch on a couple other things that that have sort of bubbled up here, and these are emerging newsy items. So there might be further developments. But first up, I asked folks on Twitter what they wanted you guys to talk about today, and a bunch of people said they wanted to talk about the Delta American Express card changes. I've dug into them a little bit. I've toyed with whether I should have some Delta status, and I'm looking at these credit card changes, and I'm curious what you guys think.
Richard, you go first. You're the Delta man.
Yeah.
I'll give a perspective as someone who only flies them a couple times a year.
Yeah, I am de facto Delta, not only because I live in Atlanta, but because they are the best domestic carrier, probably behind JetBlue, or at least the best out of Legacy. You know, overall, these changes are really net neutral in my mind. There's nothing that's going to make me shift spend onto one of these cards that I wasn't doing already, unless I was in a mad dash for MQMs. But you're talking huge spin, you know, to get MQMs, which is a lot of diversion from another card. I don't really see much of a gain or a loss here. What's really weird to me is that it makes them try and compete with their own products. So you're still better off putting basically any spend on an Amex Gold or an Amex Platinum or Business Platinum over the Delta cards. And then if you need Delta miles, you can transfer them over. So adding bonus spending categories, you know, adding Centurion Lounge access for reserve card holders, and then like taking away the bonus redeemable miles you get with huge spend is kind of like, okay, well, there's like, it's kind of like a non-event for me is my overall feeling for it. Like, I'm still going to put all the spend on gold. Now that Platinum has travel protections, I'm going to put 5X airfare on there compared to 3X on the Delta cards maximum. So it's kind of like a non-event is how I'm describing it, folks.
Yeah, I, as an occasional Delta flyer, I have the Platinum Delta card, and I keep it because of the companion certificate. So that was my only concern, was that they weren't jacking around with it or making the annual fee so much higher as to offset the value of that. So for me, as the occasional Delta person, it's the same thing. I already wasn't paying to use the discounted Sky Club access, so I still won't do that. The thing I found the most interesting actually was on the reserve card. If you really were only ever visiting the Centurion Lounge as like a solo business traveler, or I guess even a solo leisure traveler, I could see you potentially dropping your Amex Platinum and only having the reserve if that's the main reason you had the Platinum. But that was the biggest thing that jumped out at me. And I don't think it'll impact most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I am really tempted to try and get a card or two here and shoot for higher Delta status, but I definitely need to sit down and think about, and I think it goes back to Richard's comment of, if I put a bunch of spend on these Delta cards, what else am I giving up? And I just haven't sat down to do that math yet. And then lastly, let's, you know, right before we hopped on the podcast, American put up a note on their website that, that American Airlines is terminating their what's left of their partnership with Alaska Airlines, and that after end of February, you won't be able to redeem miles, redeem American miles for Alaska Airlines flights any longer. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
So I miss the days when your Alaska and or American status got you perks on the other airline.
Yes.
I also miss the days when you could invent Alaska status out of thin air if you had status in any other airline. So I miss those things more than I think I will miss this, but it is still an issue. I mean, I think it was a year or two ago now that we had a bunch of American miles. And so we were looking to use those to go to Hawaii, and Alaska had the best options booking Alaska operated flights with American miles, unless you wanted to pay absurd amounts of, miles. Alaska was your best bet. And so we flew Alaska first to Hawaii for a reasonable number of American miles, and it was a good experience. I don't know that that's the best redemption in the world, but you know, it was one of those ways that now that American and all the others are moving more dynamic, those partner awards were sometimes the most reasonably priced ones. So losing a partner always will hurt, I think, especially if you like Sabre awards. But that being said, you know, I don't know that Alaska was ever the best use of American miles and vice versa. So it's a loss, but I don't know how huge.
My only thought is, I mean, how much more is American willing to withstand in cuts? Because that's pretty much all I've heard out of that camp, you know, even over the last 2 weeks, is do they not need these partnerships? Do they really, what is their strategy? So this to me is not a big deal. I wouldn't use my American miles to fly Alaska. I know it affects some folks, but I'm more curious as to what's going on over there at AA on top of everything else this summer. You know, maybe they just need a win instead of another cut. That's my only thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I go back a few years, I haven't looked up the post yet, but I'm sure I said this. You know, Summer, you commented on how the relationship was a lot cozier between the two a number of years ago, and your seating assignments and stuff like that for elite members. And I used to enjoy that, connecting from American to Alaska for things like, you know, places like Seattle and other destinations in the Northwest that American didn't have great coverage at. And I think when that stuff started to unravel a bit, I think I probably said something along the lines of, you know, this seems like the beginning of the end of the Alaska American partnership. And, you know, I think as I look at this today, I think it's probably just, it probably just took longer than I think some of us, you know, thought it might. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's another one of those nice little niche perks that that we're just not going to be able to take advantage of anymore.
Yeah. So if you are sad about this, you know, one of the ways we've done it since we burned American miles was just making sure that we always have some of those Alaska companion certs on hand from their credit cards. Then you don't need to worry about using American miles on them. You could just create your own 2-for-1. It doesn't solve this, but that's how we've flown Alaska in recent years.
Well, I think that's a full wrap on stuff to talk about today, though. It's been a busy time for the miles and points world. Guys, thanks for taking some time to talk 2019 status and Delta and Alaska and all that other good stuff. And then apparently another robust discussion on what we love to hate about Marriott.
Yeah. Maybe next time we come on, it can be to talk about some amazing, huge, new enhancement, true enhancement of a program. Let's do that next time. Fingers crossed.
That word makes my stomach hurt because there's never used the right way.
if we're waiting for the next great thing, I think it's going to be too long before I talk to both of you again, and that would make me sad.
Oh. Well, I have hope, but I'll come back and talk about bad things in the meantime.
Yeah, I don't know who Hope is, but she doesn't appear to be here now and does not appear to be helping make the news more.
She lives in the South, Ed.
I'm sure she does. She probably lives near Faith. And so those are both of the things that I have with, say, like, for example, you know, United's changes on their upgrades for top elite members with plus points. But even though I have Faith and Hope, I see little leaks about award chart changes for United. And I do wonder if I know what I know.
This is why people think we have our own religion when you start equating hope and faith into what we do.
We might.
Well, I don't know which one of you is hope and which one of you is faith, but why don't you tell folks where they can find you when you're not John with me on the podcast?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Mommy Points, all one word, M-O-M-M-Y points, or writing almost every day on thepointsguy.com.
I am Kerr Points on social media, and then you should come and hang out with us in the TPG Lounge and the TPG Family Group on Facebook, where you will find Summer and all of her content as well.
Yes, do that. Good idea.
Two of my favorite people to podcast with each and every single time. Thanks to you both for hopping on the show with me today.
Thank you.
Ed, you're an ugly man, but I love you.
Oh, I love it. That's a full wrap on this week's show. If any of you have questions about end-of-the-year travel tips, Marriott, Hyatt, Omni, or airlines that you're chasing down for elite status as we head in the home stretch, feel free to drop me an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com. We'll also take suggestions that you'd like to see covered for future episodes. You can also hit me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And you can find me blogging each and every day at pizzainmotion.com. A big thanks to Summer and Richard for hanging out with me to talk travel this week. I always love getting those guys together and getting to hear what they think about everything that's going on in the travel world. And a big thank you to each of you who tune in every week to hear what we have to say about the world of travel. If you've listened this far, I have to believe that means you like what you're hearing. If that's the case, please, please tell a friend and make sure that you subscribe to get our episodes downloaded each and every week as soon as they're released. Word of mouth is the absolute best thing you can do to help us grow the show, and I really do appreciate it. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.